The Recruitment Rollercoaster Podcast. My name is Hisham Azouz, and this is the show where I bring to life the true failures, learnings, and successes of recruiters and recruitment business owners. Today, I'm joined by Chris Morrow, who has worked as a software recruiter since graduating from university in 2005. For the past 13 years, Chris has worked in both the UK and Australian markets, recruiting tech talent for some of the best companies in the world. In October last year, he returned to the UK with his young family and has taken the plunge to set up his very own recruitment firm, Digitalent. His very own Digitalent recruitment agency, which is based in Manchester. Chris is a recruiter who is extremely, extremely passionate about the industry, and over the past few years has been sharing his journey with the world through his vlogs and on social media. If you follow him on Instagram, you will know he isn't shy in front of the camera and has big plans for Digitalent, which focuses on the software development and digital vertical in both the UK and Australia market. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Chris Morrow.
Hello there, mate.
How are you?
Yes, I'm very well, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. Thank you for joining me. I've been looking forward to this. So look, Chris, as you know, recorded a short snippet into sort of your recruitment career. Look, we'll dive straight into it. I think one of the most important questions, I guess, for someone in your situation to ask yourself, let alone me ask it, is why did you decide to go out and start your own recruitment business?
Yes.
Let's start there. Why?
A very good question. There's a number of reasons, if I'm honest, a number of reasons. So to give you a bit of context, so I probably wanted to start my own recruitment agency for at least the last 5, 6, 7 years or so. But I was unable to over the last sort of 5 years because I'd moved from the UK in 2012 over to Sydney.
Sure.
And I was sponsored by a company over there. I was sponsored under a 457 visa, which is a temporary visa, and you had to basically stay with the company for at least 2 years. I ended up staying with the company for about 4.5 years, and I got my permanent residency.
I was going to say, does that make you eligible for that? Does it?
Yeah. So I'm myself and my family we're all sort of dual nationals, nice. Aussie citizens. So that was one thing. So when I was over there, I was really kind of tied to the company a lot, and obviously I couldn't start my own business then. So what I just really focused on was learning as much as I could from being in a new market and setting up a division within a company, which is pretty much like a startup within a bigger company. When I was over there, which was fantastic. It was just really focusing what I could learn. Obviously in the back of my mind, I knew that I wanted to start my own business. So I was learning things based on that. And then as time went on, I was in a situation where I was actually, my employer was learning probably more from me than I was from him.
That's interesting.
And I don't mean that in an arrogant way. I just mean that I was full of innovative ideas. I was learning, I was getting up at 5 a.m. for about 18 months, and I was learning digital marketing, social media, content, video production, like just off my own back. And I was doing that from 5 until 7:30 a.m. And then I was going to work, from 7:30. I'd be back in the house at 6:30.
Love that.
At night. And then I'd work until midnight learning all of this stuff. And I'd do that 5, 6 nights a week. And I literally done that. I was bleeding out my eyeballs for like 18 months learning all this stuff.
Love that.
And I was coming into work and I was just full of ideas, and I just like, what about the social media and, the digital marketing side? We should do these, all this content, video production. And I was met with a lot of blank faces, and people thought I was pretty crazy at the time. And this is like before people were properly vlogging. This was like four four and a bit years ago. Yeah. People are vlogging a lot more now, but
still not quite there though, is it?
Not quite there. No,
but I get what you're saying.
In the recruitment sector as well, you know, people are very much old school in their thinking, I think, and it's, you know, recruiters are very much sales animals as opposed to, and so when you're trying to talk to them about something like, you know, we should be doing this digital marketing side, we should be doing this on social media, people are just like, well, you should just be banging in more deals, you know. Yeah, it's the answer for everything. So that's what grew, and in the end I was just kind of frustrated by my experience more than anything. I was really, really itching to sort of start my own company, and through all of the things that I had experienced, and don't get me wrong, I mean, this wasn't like a hasty decision on my part, and this is something that had built up over a long time.
Yeah,
I didn't start my business until I was 12 years into my career.
You've got loads of experience. That's what I mean. Yeah. Obviously, if you listen to the last chat I had with Toby, he said sometimes people make the mistake of going too early, and you've got a decade under your belt, like you just said there, learning about not just recruitment, but all this other stuff. So.
That's it, and I think I definitely wouldn't have been ready like 10 years before that, or 8 years before that, or even when I went to Australia, you know, in 2012, I probably wasn't ready to start my own business then, even if I could have, you know. So all of the experience that I had and all the things that I learned just really, really set me up for this kind of challenge. And I guess, like, to sort of really properly answer the question, I would say that, you know, I really, really wanted to build and want to build, and that's what I'm focused on, is building a company that's genuinely, and I mean genuinely, focused on the candidates and the clients, but more importantly, the staff. I think my philosophy behind recruitment is very much a long-term philosophy. You know, I really dislike the whole, you know, short-term sort of mindset. And I listened to that podcast from Toby, and I thought it was really interesting what he's talking about, instant gratification. And
he's completely right.
That is absolutely one of the key drivers for me, because I'm really playing the long game. I'm not building a company so that I can sell it in 3 years or 5 years and I've got an exit strategy. I don't have an exit strategy because I'm a recruiter. I'm always going to be a recruiter. And I plan on having this business for the next sort of like 20, 30 years or whatever. Yeah. So
when you really feel that, the decisions that you make on a day-to-day basis,
everything changes.
Exactly.
Everything changes. And I think I want to get that through to, you know, to staff when I start growing the team. Let's not make short-term decisions based on short-term monetary values or trying to squeeze people into positions just because, you know, there's a fee over the top of it. And I just genuinely believe that in 2018 you can build a big, successful, well-respected recruitment organisation on good stuff. And I think that can change the face of a lot of people's perceptions on what, you know, what makes a good recruiter. And that's what I'm determined to do, and ultimately it just comes down to not having any regrets. I'm one of those people that just does not, it really scares me being an old man and looking back and thinking I should have done something. And I'd rather regret something that I have done rather than something that I have.
Look, I think that's amazing, your sort of mission. Honestly, I think that's amazing. Obviously, I've only been in recruitment for sort of 2 years and a bit now, and I think that to sort of have that mission, I think is amazing, because I think that the sort of businesses out there, or the recruiters out there who are building their desks on those squeezing people into jobs, those short-term, so that short-term mindset, I think hopefully they're probably not going to be around in the next 5 to 10 years.
And look, I mean, let's be honest, recruitment is a very, very, you know, sort of low barrier of entry to recruitment.
Exactly.
You don't need a degree. You don't need, you know, XYZ sales experience. You don't need all of these other things, which in other industries you probably do require. And also the possibility to make some serious cash in the short term is so high.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, recruitment attracts C&D players because of that. And that's what gives our recruitment industry a bad name, because it's a lot of the time the noisiest people in our industry are those C&D players. And you know, it really bugs the shit out of me, if I'm honest, because You know, I've worked with some absolutely phenomenal recruiters in my time, and you know, in Australia and even in the UK, and some of these people are just so, so good at what they do, but they do look long term. You know, the best ones that I've seen, they have a very long term attitude towards things. You know, and thing when you know when they say they're going to do it, and I just think that that's the best way forward as a human being and in business, that you know, and that really plays out.
The next thing that I wanted to ask you, Chris, was, so at the moment then, do you work at home or do you have a shared office? Or
so a bit of both. I do a lot of work at home at the moment. I've got a sort of garden office.
I was going to say, so how?
Bottom of the garden, yeah.
So what?
But also, I also hot desk from a space in Manchester. There's a WeWork. I don't know if you've heard of WeWork, which is like a co-working space. They're massive. They actually own Meetup, the meetup.com. I think like the eighth biggest startup company in the world,
really?
Or something. They're absolutely huge. Yeah. And I knew from my time in Sydney that company was popping up all over the place. They just recently opened up a couple of WeWork places in Manchester, and a kind of hot desk out of there.
Is it just I mean, I guess that leads into my next question, because I mean, what challenges do you face working in the bottom of your garden in the shed? I guess it must be nice to. I think that I've spoke about this with my friends recently, where on the weekends I'll do work in terms of if it's stuff for my content for the week or whatever. And I haven't got the best setup at home. I've got a desk or whatever, but sometimes you can quite easily get distracted when you're in that environment. So I always say to my friends, and we've all sort of started doing it, and there's definitely a difference, and that's just going down to a coffee shop. And when you've made that commitment to leave your home and do some work, normally that works.
I look at it in a different way, and I'm not working from home all the time, but I would probably say maybe 60% of my time I'm working from home. But you know, I've got a two and a half year old little girl, so it's very important for me to find a space which I'm not going to be disturbed, and that's why a garden office, which is completely out of sight, is perfect for that for me. But what I've actually learned so much in the last sort of 6 months of doing this by myself, in that, you know, you can literally work from anywhere.
Yeah.
You don't need to have even a garden office I have.
Well, that's the amazing thing about working in recruitment, isn't it? And why so many people do go on their own.
It is now. And when you hear people banding about that stat about recruitment, X amount of recruitment agencies started last year, and you know, all the rest of it, well, that's true. But what's actually happening is people are just getting savvy to the fact that you don't need to work for a brand just to earn money. Because ultimately, if you bring the business in yourself, and you know bring the clients in yourself, and you fill the job yourself with your own network and all, you're doing all of that work yourself anyway. So it makes sense, after you have so much experience that I have, 12 years plus experience, to actually go ahead and give it a crack yourself. And, you know, 15 years ago, you needed expensive IT systems and infrastructure, and you needed a swanky office. You know, most of the times recruiters, the best recruiters, when they're out and about, and you should be out and about as much as possible, in my opinion, you know, meeting candidates, especially in the industry that I'm in, which is digital and software, because it's all relationship driven. So you really need to network around your candidates. You know, you need to be out and about. And what I've learned over the last 6 months is that you can literally work coffee shop to coffee shop. You don't need any sort of fixed address. You're always on, like, as long as you've got an internet connection and a laptop and a phone, you're good to go.
Yeah, that is one of the amazing things about it. And I think one thing I definitely wanted to ask you, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there and people who listen to this who might be in a similar spot to you, or are still on their own 12 months down the line or whatever. And what I'd love to know is, look, so when you're down at the bottom of your garden in your office or in your coffee shop, or you're in this WeWork space, how do you stay motivated? It's just you. It's a lonely journey, isn't it? The last 6 months, it's just you. No one else. So how do you stay motivated?
The simple answer to that is just basically to recognise that you've got no choice.
Yeah. What's like, the alternative? What's the alternative?
You don't have a choice because I mean, look, I'm really eating my own dog food by doing what I'm doing, and a lot of people don't understand really the ins and outs of it, and that's why it's good to kind of talk about it in this kind of, you know, setting and on your podcast. Is that I left behind a very comfortable, cushy job in Sydney. I was already a citizen. I was living not so far from the beach. It's nice weather, you know, all the rest of it. And you could stay in that sort of comfort zone.
For sure.
We've moved from Sydney back to where my fiance is from, Southport. Sydney to Southport's a heavy hit. Let me tell you, it's a heavy, heavy hit. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's a beach here, but it's way, you know, that's where the similarity ends. You know, I've moved back in with my, you know, with my in-laws, basically. You know, we're sharing a house. There's, you know, four adults, a toddler and a cat, you know, it's, yeah. And the reason why I've done that is because I need to eat my own dog food in that respect. You know, we've sacrificed so much to get a business up and running, and we've gone backwards in our life, and we've gone like
a lot of people view it like that. A lot of people view it like that from the outside.
And that's what you have to do. Anyone in this situation who's thinking about going out on their own, I really truly advise them to basically have an audit on their own life and cut out all the things that you don't actually need from an expenses perspective.
Yeah.
I'm lucky because I'm not a flash guy.
Yeah.
I'm not into cars. I'm not into fancy watches. You know, I don't spend money on stupid things, genuinely don't spend money on stupid things. So it wasn't such a hard thing for me to
sacrifice that sort of disposable income on that potential stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And that's what you need to do if you want to start a business. You need to put yourself in a position that you literally need to go on the offensive and just save as much money as you can. For us, that was moving from Sydney back to the UK and with the in-laws, and now all of my time and energy goes into the business.
And also, basically, I guess as well, obviously, so you're 6 months in, and I'll ask you a question in a sec, but just to sort of round that off, you want to try and aim for a position where you can put 80% of everything that you get from the efforts you're putting back into the business. Do you know what I mean? You want to be in that position.
Yeah. 100%, yeah, and that's why I haven't signed up for a swanky office straight off the bat. That's also why it fits into what I was saying earlier about a long-term strategy for the business. I haven't sought out any investors because I don't need any.
Yeah,
I don't need any cap. I don't need to give away a portion of my business for any capital because that's not what I need.
Yeah.
If my end game was to sell the business in 5 years, then that would be different.
Yeah.
But it's not, basically. So I'm happy to take a hit over the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years even, and make less money if it means building a bigger business and
in the long term, being
more successful in the long term.
So look, Chris, you're 6 months down the line. What's been the sort of biggest obstacle you've had to overcome in the sort of first 3 months then? What have you been dealing with?
It's a good question. I mean, the biggest obstacle that I've had really, and it is, I suppose it would be different for anyone in the UK who's thinking of starting their own business, would be in a different situation to what probably myself, in that, I'm almost a newcomer to the UK market again. I've been out of the market for 5 years. I've still got a really good network here in terms of, you know, companies.
Is it a lot of so you work with a lot of UK companies, or is it?
Yeah. I'm in a fortunate position that I still have a really good network of clients over in Sydney, and I've been helping a number of them with some requirements as well. My long term objective is to open up a Sydney office, hopefully in the next couple of years as well, because I really think it makes sense to maintain those sort of client relationships that I worked so hard for over the last 5 years. But the biggest obstacle really has been me sort of getting my head around the UK market again. The last time I was working in a new business perspective in the UK was in, you know, 2010.
Yeah, so it must have changed a long time ago.
Yeah, but it's actually surprising. I mean, if LinkedIn wasn't around, I think I'd be pretty scuppered, because LinkedIn keeps all of your, obviously, your contacts in the same place. And when you do actually relocate countries, you really fall back on something like LinkedIn, because you know everyone's there, you've kept in touch with people over the last few years, even though you're not directly recruiting with them. And it's funny, I mean, like a client of mine who I placed as a web developer in like 2006 for a company, and he's now the CEO of a big mobile app agency.
Yeah,
stuff like that happens, and you can't really picture those things happening when you're starting out, but when you look backwards, you're thinking it's crazy how things like that work out. So yeah, it's more around getting my head around the UK market. Mm. Obviously, I haven't come from working in a UK business to then, you know, sort of taking my clients with me, which a lot of people do when they start their own business.
Yeah. No, I get that.
I'm not in that position. That makes sense.
So look, I think if anyone knows you or has you on any of the sort of social channels, it seems you're pretty serious about that stuff, which is brilliant, by the way.
Thank you.
I think, look, so question for you, how, because as you said, you were looking at the digital stuff and the vlogging probably a lot earlier than sort of people were, particularly in the recruitment industry. So over the next sort of 5-10 years, how do you see social media affecting the recruitment industry?
I'm hoping that a lot more recruiters are going to really start to see the value of it.
Mm.
I think with, you know, companies like Hoxwell Media, you know, entering into the recruitment space, and I know Sean and the guys very, very well, and I think they're doing some fantastic stuff. I think that that'll raise awareness, you know, hugely, especially in the UK market. And I think the more recruiters get on board with it, and they see the value of it, then that'll start to improve. So I'm really hoping that you know, that sort of changes, because I do think the recruitment industry is a little bit behind when it comes to those sort of things. Purely from the point of view that recruiters are sales animals, we're all sales animals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's one set of behaviour to focus on sales and what you're doing from a month-to-month basis and how much money you're bringing in. It's a completely different set of skills and behaviours and part of your brain.
Perspective, that focuses 100%, 100%.
It's on marketing, though.
100%, yeah.
Marketing and branding is completely different to sales, and I think a lot of recruiters, you know, they're not used to that. And I just think that in 2018, you need to be 50% sales and 50% a digital marketer. Mm. I just truly believe that to my core, and that's why I've invested so much of my own personal time and energy on learning how it is, and tasting little things, and you know, sort of failing a lot and trying out things that don't work. And I just think that social media will continue to dominate. That's where all your candidates live.
Well, that sort of leads quite nice into my sort of next and last question. And that's that, obviously, I saw that, obviously, you've been, I saw your article about the, obviously, videos you did in 1 month on Instagram and stuff. So two questions, really. Did you get any business from it? And what was the main takeaway?
I haven't got any business from it yet directly, but it's funny the way that things, you know, the way that things work with regards to that, because what you actually find is, and this is what a lot of recruiters don't actually realise, they think that because they're using the sales part of their brain, they think that by putting out a video, what do you get? It's transactional, right? So you do A, what, you know, what happens? Where's my B? Like, where's my output type thing? It doesn't actually happen like that. And I'll give you a good example of this. Two weeks ago, I'd done a deal with a software company based out of the US. And that software company reached out to me on LinkedIn. I got a connection request from a guy in Missouri, and I almost never connected with the guy because it was from Missouri. It was just a bit random. Mm. The guy was a director of talent acquisition over there. And anyway, I accepted it. Literally 30 seconds later, he sent me a message on LinkedIn saying that he'd been recommended to speak to me.
Love that.
And was a free the next day. Now, I was sort of like a bit confused at this point, because as a recruiter, these things don't often happen, where, especially from a different country, where someone's sort of been recommended right, to speak to you. Yeah. Exactly, yeah, you have to go chasing all your business and kicking doors down and all the rest of it. So when, cut a long story short, when I asked him where he got the recommendation from, he mentioned a lady's name who had no clue who she was, and he thought that I must have known who she was. Mm. She was based in Cardiff. And when I'd done some detective work, I basically found out that the woman in Cardiff had put out basically a status update on LinkedIn a couple of weeks before that and asking anyone if they knew any good tech recruiters. A woman that I know, I'd never met, by the way, but I know her because she'd been subscribed to my email newsletter on my blog from about 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
So this is basically from all the digital marketing and social and content stuff that I was learning. She tagged my name. That woman in Cardiff then recommended me to the company in America, and that company then came to me for business. I placed that person like 2 weeks ago. The guy's already started.
Amazing.
That all came from a video that I made in my bedroom on a Sunday.
Basically. That's what it's all
and
about.
I got 15, and literally I know exactly what video it was. I got about 15 views of it on YouTube.
Mm.
Right, literally nobody was watching, but one of the people that was watching was this woman in Australia that I'd never met. She recommended me to someone in Wales, who recommended me to someone in America. That is powerful. That is marketing.
So powerful, and that's
what a lot of recruiters don't actually understand about the whole thing.
That's what it's all about, and I think I absolutely love that because there's something in there which I absolutely love. A part of that story. And that's a lot of people, when they start obviously putting content out there and stuff like that, it's very easy to get drawn into the numbers. How many likes did it get? How many people did you view it? And what you just said there, 15 people viewed it. You could have looked at that. Someone could have looked at that and go, no one's watching that. What's the point in that?
Likes, that's it.
Yeah. Nothing, all it takes is one person.
That's it. All the likes and nothing. You get sort of sucked into thinking of, you think your video's going to go viral and inverted commas, it doesn't actually matter about that, because if your video gets 8 views and one of those views, and this is another crazy thing as well, the people who view your video don't even need to be the people who give you business. The people who view your video need to talk to someone else who talks to someone else,
exactly,
who then talks to someone else,
exactly,
who's your potential client. And that's why it makes it so powerful, because and as well, what you've got to understand is, apart from the time that I put in to learn all of that stuff, it was completely free.
Exactly.
That cost of that acquisition for me and to get that client was
zero. Exactly.
Absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
And when that happens to you the first time, for someone in my experience, in my position, it was like a light bulb moment. I literally was gobsmacked. I could not believe it was happening. And I just think it's such a powerful story for anyone listening.
Anyone who's doubting it,
and I used to get it. And one of the things that frustrated the shit out of me, if I'm being honest, when I was in Australia, I hope I can swear on your podcast.
Yeah, that's
I
know fine.
I've just already
done it. That's
absolutely fine. One of the things that really frustrated me, especially in Australia, was I was coming up with all these ideas, and the first thing you're asked by a manager or by, the person in charge of your area or the CEO is, what's the ROI?
Yeah, what's the ROI? How many deals are you going to get?
It's like, you're totally missing the point if that's the question you're asking. You're totally missing it because it's not about that, because it's a marketing and branding exercise.
Exactly.
And it takes a long time. I mean, if you look at that example I just told you about, it took 3.5 years for that to actually come through. And at the time, you've got to remember, everyone around me thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
Like crazy about I used to take this video camera into work and put it on my desk and just start talking. And then I'm in a room full of 90 recruiters and everyone thought I was a fucking idiot, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just like, why are you doing that? I was the weird guy in the office. Yeah. But it's reaping rewards for me now.
Exactly.
And I'm glad that I've done it then.
Yeah, just to add to that from my experience as well, and I think I think people have obviously got to be sort of self-aware with, are they good in front of the camera, or is it their thing? But I think what I really like about videos, and I've experienced it when I've attended networking events and stuff like that, is that when people actually that, as opposed to a LinkedIn post or whatever, they really get that human and personal essence from that. So that person who watched that video, who recommend you, they go, oh yeah, I know this guy, da da da, and they actually feel like they know you because you've got in front of the camera, you're being yourself, and that's the great thing I like about video as well.
100%, and I think it's like an authenticity thing. So it's so important, but it's like I see a lot of recruiters trying to put out video as well, and it makes me squirm a little bit because they're trying to be too corporate, like, you know, they're reading from a script a lot of the time, which I just think it comes across bit wooden and wrong in a lot of cases. And what I've learned over the last few years is just to be like, you know what, if you fumble in a video, good, keep it in, it's genuine, people get that, people respect you for that. But what I've always you know, my bosses all the way through my career have always said to me is that people buy from me when I go to a meeting. People will buy from me a lot more than when I'm cold calling someone or whatever. If I get in front of that person, 9 times out of 10, they'll become a client of mine.
Mm.
So a video is just an extension of that. Exactly. I'm just showing myself in my natural state to more people. Some people don't like it. You have to deal with that. That's another thing you have to deal with.
When
you do start doing those things, you have to deal with haters and you have to deal with negative comments, which funnily enough, oftentimes come from people who are closest to you, like some of my best friends in the world that I've known forever.
What are you up to, mate?
Don't get it. Like they thought I was doing it for sort of vanity reasons, is not the case at all. I was doing it because I knew I was going to launch a business and, you know, all the rest of it, and I wanted to learn that stuff. But some people still don't like it because it doesn't fit within their image of what you are as a person. And you need to be able to push on through that and deal with that.
No, 100%. So look, Chris, absolutely love this conversation. Thank you so much for your thoughts. And
it's gone quick.
So what are you excited about at the moment? And Chris, you've spoken about you want to grow this business, which is amazing. I mean, what are you excited about, and what have you got going on at the moment, Chris?
I'm excited about so many things, to be honest. I mean, like, I do get excited quite easily. I'm actually very, very excited about the area that I'm in at the moment. So the market that I'm in is absolutely booming.
So what market is that?
Software and digital.
Okay.
You know, I very much deal in a vertical market, and a lot of the technologies that we deal with from a software development perspective and all the rest of it weren't even around like sort of 3 years ago.
Wow.
Which is a very exciting place to be. And I'm really a geek underneath the whole recruiter thing. I've got a degree in information systems, and that's my background. So that's what gets me up in the morning. Nice. The passion for the technology.
I think that always helps, doesn't it? When you 100%, got that personal curiosity.
You need to be passionate about your sector and your industry, or else you won't be able to get through the tough times.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm really excited about is, you know, where my business is based, Manchester, it's absolutely booming as well as a place, especially for technology. I was reading the other day, I think it was two nights ago, there was an award for the top 100 tech companies in the UK, and I think about 35 of them were from Manchester.
I love Manchester.
And there's loads of investment happening, like loads of meetups happening all the time. There's a good startup culture, loads of
Isn't there a fast train to London on that, isn't there, or not? Or is that already there?
It's coming in a few years, apparently. Yeah. I think it's in about 3 years' time, and I think that'll change.
My mum telling me about that, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. But to be honest, I'm just mad excited about, building my business. I finally got a crack at it. And,
amazing.
I'm putting all my efforts into it.
Yeah. Obviously, still a long way to go, but honestly,
it's early days, mate.
Exactly,
sure.
Early days. But look, honestly, as you said, look, a lot of people would have chose the beach life, but you've taken that plunge. So honestly, hats off to you. I do wish you all the best. But so look, before you go, how can people connect with you then, Chris? Where?
Take your pick. Social media. I'm all over social media. You can hook me up on LinkedIn and just type my name, Chris Morrow, Digitalent. My company's called Digitalent.
Yeah.
Instagram, it's chrismorrow.careers.
Yeah.
If you love an Instagram story, you should check me out there. And yeah, I'm on Twitter as well. I think it's Chris M Careers.
Okay.
Facebook, chrismorrow.careers as well. So I'm all over the place.
Cool. All right. Well,
you can't miss me.
That's good. Well, look, I will put that in the sort of show notes. I'll put it
if anyone there. If anyone listening to this has any questions that they have about starting their own agency or potentially thinking about it, they want some advice, you can email me chris@digitalent.agency.
Brilliant, love that, Chris.
And I'll be happy to help out as many people as I can.
Amazing. Look, thank you so much for your time. Been an absolute pleasure.
No worries. And
no doubt we'll speak soon, Chris. Thank you.
Hats off to you, by the way, for doing what you're doing. I think it's amazing that a guy in your position, fresh to the industry, is taking this upon himself. It certainly shows an entrepreneurial spirit, and I see a lot of that in myself. So hats off to you.
Been a pleasure. Now, thank you, Chris. And look, I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks very much. Later. Cheers. Bye bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.